Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome here to our July 4th extended weekend show here on Circles of Change. And what a pleasure. I always love circling back in more ways than one, and a delight for me to actually have a guest join us today who was with us almost 4.5 years ago, Marty Briscoe from the Predictive Group. How are you this morning, Marty?
Great, Zara. It's great to be
and
here.
It's going to be an interesting log we get together. Let me introduce Marty. Marty, she's a graduate of LaSalle College in Medical Administration and Nursing. She actually started her career, though, as an interior design coordinator for multiple builders. After 10 years, she shifted to work within a publicly traded geologic exploration firm with responsibility for investor relations and general business. Through her brother, Mark, who founded, owned, and operated over 45 restaurants, Marty learned about the predictive index methodology for effective staff recruitment and promotion, conflict resolution, and team building. And frankly, there was no turning back after she got exposed, because she became certified in predictive index and used it first within the geologic firm she was with, and then with Mark, partnered under the banner of Predictive Index of Arizona, coming up now on 15 years, to serve a very diverse cross-section of clients, industries, and nonprofits. Everything from professional service providers to banks, a wellness spa to insurance provider, and industries as broad as aerospace, furniture, logistics, and even a funeral home and a cemetery. So, I'm not as surprised at all, Marty, when I listen to that diverse set of clients, given your diverse background coming up to that, you're a constant, what I'll call it, shapeshifter in some regard.
I guess it's probably true.
Well, it's been 4.5 years, like we said, before we talk, and I'm sure, although you have certainly canvassed the greater Tucson, southern Arizona area with Predictive Index, but perhaps we should start right there and explain what PI is all about, and then talk about the extended suite you all have now called People at Work.
Great, great. Well, the Predictive Index is a tool that measures what drives and motivates an individual. And the applications of understanding behavior, and it was a great segue with the book before, Save Your Drama for Your Mama,
exactly,
all the rest of this, is how people go about doing what they do in an organization. And PI measures that. And when we're talking about leadership, leadership is at all levels, both at home and at work. And leadership is influence, and the way anybody influences other people is through their behavior. It's not what they know, it's how they go about doing what they know.
Right, and that how can be everything from what kind of tone of voice they use, what kind of pace they deliver, how they choose to interact with people as well.
Absolutely, and the big thing about behavior is when you understand behavior, you have a greater understanding of other people, and you're able to change your expectations of what you're expecting from people, because we really do assume a lot in life. And once you understand not to assume so much, it makes life a lot easier.
Well, easily said than done many times,
yes,
isn't it? Because
mm-hmm.
you make some assumptions based on someone's title or someone's experience base, even up until the point in time you meet them.
Right. Or the fact that they walk into the office and walk into their office and shut their door. And people don't realize that they're not shutting you out, they're shutting themselves in. That's just a behavioral characteristic. It's not something to rise to the level of conflict for. So that's how you get teams to work better together, is understanding each other. The more diversity we have at any level in an organization, the more productive it is, because everybody thinks a little bit differently, so they all bring a different whatever measurement to the group. So applications, once again, communication, team building, conflict resolution, mm-hmm. getting the right people in the right seats on the bus, mm-hmm. is what PI does.
That's right. And I think our audience would be interested to know, though, I mean, you and I were talking before the show started, that right now something over 90% of all companies are using some sort of assessment in this day and age for a variety of reasons,
mm-hmm.
right?
That's correct. The Aberdeen Group is a group that does statistics and assessments, and they said that 92% of companies today use assessments in some way, shape, or form. And so the Predictive Index is an assessment of the individual. The second tool in the PI system is a tool that assesses a job. What are the day-in, day-out demands of a job? So we're not asking someone who's methodical and predictable and routine to be placed in a position where they have to be multitasking and have a sense of urgency about getting things done. So,
which is, in fact, when it comes back to it, that quite often if you step back from the human resource perspective and look at people that have been labeled as poor performers, that more often than not, it has to do with job fit.
It has a lot to do.
Not that they wanted to come to work and do a bad job.
Right.
It's that they weren't fit.
Which is a great segue into what we call at the Predictive Group, which is our company, using the Predictive Index, is people at work, which is a full individual assessment. And when we find that we get the right people in the right seats on the bus, then we have tools that measure cognitive ability and measure leadership capabilities so that people can understand themselves better and grow from that experience.
And even themselves self-select out to say, you know, maybe I'm really not suited well to be a supervisor and that I should be an individual because it matches so well and naturally what brings me a lot of joy.
Well, it certainly puts the individual in charge of their own personal development in an organization. When you know, when you enter an organization and you know what is available and what is a fit for you over the long haul, they say that the 25 to 35 year olds only stay in a job 3 years now. So what we're having in companies is a mass exodus of the people that we've hired and trained, and turnover is very costly. And if we can identify that potential from the get-go and keep them engaged for the long haul, the talent shortage is causing a real problem with companies just because of the generational differences and the people filling those jobs.
Well, I think the other piece of it too is that people have a different intention of why they work.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so perhaps the work ethic that you're in my generation, the 78 million baby boomers that are out there, that we're in it for a different game, mm-hmm. or at least depending on where we were in that age cycle, that would to become sensitive to it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, Marty, also you might want to explain the Predictive Index tool and the others, that these are very, very friendly to go through. It's very quick. It's online, computer based. So with the right hand in glove, it isn't a long process, but it's one that companies can implement relatively easily.
Absolutely. And the beauty of the tools are we don't do it for you.
Mm-hmm.
We teach you to do it, and it becomes part of your culture and how you work with individuals in your organization. That, you know, we call these things assessments because people perceive tests and that it means that there's a pass or fail. And there is no pass or fail. It's just an opportunity for self-awareness, to know what are my strengths, what are my limitations, how do I use my strengths to get what I want to get done in a day.
So I mentioned in the introduction that you've worked with such a diverse suite of companies. I closed, of course, the fact that you worked with Predictive Index within a funeral home and a cemetery conglomerate. Again, here you are having studied medical technology, worked in industrial, you know, interior design, been in geological, and now you're over here in the funeral business. What a and I happen to know what your Predictive Index numbers are because you've done mine and the vice versa. But there could be no greater match for you personally than this type of work.
Absolutely. I think it's probably been, well, without question, it's been the most rewarding thing that I've done, simply because at the end of the day, you have people say to you, you have changed my
yeah.
life. I look at the world mm-hmm. from a different perspective as a result of what I've learned about myself, and changing my expectations means that I don't get as sensitive to what I am perceiving as criticism from somebody. So it's a very rewarding business to be in, that's for sure.
I would think also that you don't really, since again, you are kind of as the Peace Corps teaching organizations to create their own, you know, farming and be able to fish, that sometimes that feedback might have a little bit of a lag before you hear it. So how fun it must be for you when you encounter someone and they say, oh, I did Predictive Index and...
Absolutely, absolutely. And, well, you know, Predictive Index does not advertise, hasn't. We've been around since 1955. We're in 147 countries around the world. Comes in 65 languages. And all of our business comes from somebody who went through the Predictive Index training, subsequently left a company, went to another company, and can't exist without having a tool that helps them better understand who they're working with.
And I think also the advantage, too, if I recall, is that this is the only assessment that is completely EEO compliant, so that it can be included in some of the other assessment processes when it comes to hiring and promoting, and it has that face validity, as we call it,
yeah,
in the statistical world.
The buzzwords in measuring behavior are called validity and reliability. And there are a handful of tools that meet the guidelines of the EEOC, that's the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, and the Americans with Disabilities Act. But none of them are as simple as a predictive index, as quick as a predictive index, and there is not another tool that measures behavior that is more reliable or valid than the predictive index.
Mm-hmm. And tell us a quick story about the history of it. The gentleman that came about the technology is a fascinating story.
It's a fascinating story. He went into World War II as an educated journalist and was a bombardier during the war. And when the war was over, he was still enlisted and was asked to work with a group of psychologists to determine why some bombing missions were more successful than others. And he became fascinated with the fact that you can measure careful. Some of us are more careful than others. And he knew that there had to be an application in the workplace for this. So he's from the Boston area. He came back and went to Harvard and worked with a group of PhDs in organizational development to develop the predictive index, which is technically in that world a free choice stimulus response instrument. So we measure more than just individual. That's what got started. And his first class was with Texaco in 1955.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's important, though, to talk about free choice, because many assessments, for those of you out there that are listening, we're speaking, by the way, again, with Marty Briscoe from the Predictive Group, that aren't there times when you've taken these surveys and you say, didn't they ask me that question already? And it turns out they did. They actually ask you it multiple times because the surveys sometimes are trying to outfox your subconscious. And then also you take surveys where they say, well, rank order these five sentences top to bottom. And you say, well, I don't even see a differentiation between those, but you're forced to have to do it. Predictive index, on the other hand, you might want to explain how it actually, what you actually do when you take the survey.
It's free choice. It's a word, adjectives associated with particular behaviors. And the first choice forces you to choose A, B, C, or D. And that often makes the individual think, well, what do they want to hear? What mm-hmm. do I think they want? Whereas the predictive index doesn't do that. So free choice allows us to measure morale, communication within an organization. It allows us to measure adaptability and stamina of an individual, which can be important in particular jobs, and the subjectivity and objectivity in decision making. So there's resultant factors that are measurable as a result of the free choice of the predictive index.
And I think the other component of course, is the data that you get back is not just freestanding for you, but also there's how you feel others would rate you. So there's also an element of context. So there's an element that allows me to see how does this work for me today in the environment where I'm in.
Absolutely. It measures what an individual is perceiving their environment is requiring of them, mm-hmm. and then it measures the actual behaviors and motivating needs of the individual.
Oh, that's great. Well, Marty, we mentioned now that going from the initial predictive index tool and work that you did, 5 years ago, at least when we had first met, that now the group has expanded to this fuller suite. We might want to touch on the other elements that are brought into the conversation with your clients.
Well, once you're a consultant to a company, when something challenges them, you're one of the first people they go to find out, can we measure this or what could have determined that? So we set about finding other assessments that were as, once again, reliable and valid as the predictive index to measure more than just predictable behaviors. And we also measure the cognitive ability of an individual. And cognitive ability is how fast one problem solves. It doesn't have anything to do with IQ. I have a client that recently, very costly, used an international recruiter to find an individual to do accounting. They have a very sophisticated payroll system because of so many different venues of employees. And so they hired somebody from Texas, moved that individual to another location. So it was very costly, family, homes, et cetera. And not only did this individual not match the job from the predictive index, but we did a cognitive study and found that cognitively this individual doesn't pick up things quite as fast as somebody else might. And in this situation, it was really important that they pick it up extremely fast. Yeah, so this could have avoided a lot of costly things in the beginning from a hiring mm-hmm. standpoint. Mm-hmm.
And then likewise, when individuals are equipped with their predictive index, they can use that kind of as a beacon when they're about to make a change. Even I'm thinking of transferring from this group to that group.
Absolutely.
To have that information in my hand already, say, no, wait a minute, is that going to be a good fit for me?
Absolutely. Another tool that we have is called the Influencing Skills Assessment Tool, or the ISAT. And John Maxwell, who's a great writer of a lot of interesting books, says leadership is influence. Nothing more, nothing less. And the ability to influence other people around you to get what you need to get done in a day is, once again, a skill that can be learned. And it measures somebody's influencing in five dimensions. And so someone can work on their influencing skills once they know where they need to work on them.
And but what I might be a careful caveat, though, is usually during times of distress, though, you're going to naturally revert to the influencing suite that you already have.
Absolutely.
Right. So it's also mindful to know what are they going to be the lead influencers that we can do. For example, if you're one that likes to initiate and suggest and convince and persuade, that's a little bit of a softer approach as opposed to someone who likes to challenge and confront.
Mm-hmm.
So even though I might learn how to challenge and confront or go through a skills bidding class and role play and so on, at the end of the day, it's going to still feel a little bit unnatural for me to do. So how can I support or get support from others to be able to do all three of those dimensions?
And when you're in a team environment, it's huge to understand exactly what those skills are. Skills can be learned. So we can't change your behavior, but we can certainly improve your influencing skills, just like you can improve someone's selling skills. These are skills. Skills are innate. I mean, learning behavior is innate. Skills can be learned.
Learned, yeah.
Yeah.
And then reinforced by practice,
absolutely,
or support from others.
Absolutely.
And so beyond the influence tool, then, there's a development survey.
Yeah, the multi-source development survey is called the MDS. And this is a tool that measures an individual's leadership competencies, if you will, at the level of leadership that they're at. So you have, when you go into a company, you're called a individual contributor, and as soon as you move to a supervisory position, you're leading others. Well, this tool, save your drama for your mama, you can do 20 friends. I'm going to go get that book, trust me. But this within an organization measures an individual's competencies at the level that they're at in leadership. So huge self-awareness for someone that wants to move into a supervisory or a management position to know how they're doing and to know what they need to work on to get better at managing before they go to the next level.
Yeah, very well done. Marty, the joy you've gotten out of your work now, doing it almost 15 years, what have been some of your biggest personal ahas? You know, in other words, how has being part of helping other people changed you?
Well, my favorite three words to anybody that calls me with a challenge is, you are the problem, first. And the second thing is change your expectations. And when people sit and think about that, because they're usually having a conflict with somebody or they're managing conflict around them, the whole idea is to take a step back and look at it and confront the challenge and draw up solutions. And it's every day. I don't think that there's really been an aha moment. I teach a two-day class in an organization for them to be able to implement the predictive index. And I have aha moments as often as my students do, and I've been doing this for 14 years. So
that's right. And that's why, by the way, again, because you've got such a strong learning profile and that I know you well, that there's never going to be a day that isn't going to provide you some aha moments.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's right. Now, we had mentioned, you quoted that statistic that companies now, 92% are using assessments. That's certainly changed over the years that you've been doing predictive index. So do you find either a different receptivity, or there's obviously a lot more tools out there as well that's, quote, the competition coming at you? So think about the nature of your job and how you've cultivated your clients. Have you had to shift in any way?
You know what? It's pretty steadily growing is what I've done, even in the past 4 years. Interestingly, I've had clients that have gone from 2,000 employees to 1,000 employees and are very surprised that they are just as productive and just as successful as they were. So they're far more cognizant of who they hire, of that talent, and managing that talent and growing that talent, finding that talent, et cetera. We're so much more capable in organizations with fewer people of doing multiple things. So my business in Predictive Index has grown steadily. at least 25% every year for the last 4 years.
Yeah, and a lot of that, you say you're playing in the change space, and that's going to continue.
Just yeah, absolutely.
The evolution and revolution in a lot of organizations. Marty, I also know that you've had the opportunity to do this type of work, not just in for-profit organizations, but also nonprofits. Anything different in the nature of the work when you do this type of behavior-based work with nonprofits?
No, because nonprofits are really not nonprofits.
Exactly. They have a different tax category.
They just have a different tax category. It's all about the people and getting what you need to get done in a day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's how you get people to do what it is that you need them to do.
And then you had mentioned, of course, the international standpoint of the predictive group being in so many different languages across the planet. As you've come together with your colleagues, users, groups, or otherwise, to understand the use and adaptation in different cultures, is there anything different compared to our Western world here in the United States?
There really isn't. And by the way, the reliability and validity crosses cultures and crosses languages. People are people.
So what you're saying then is that if you've got a client that has multiple outposts around the globe, you know, in multiple languages, that this, again, is the advantage of an assessment process that can help.
Absolutely. Anywhere in the world today.
Yeah. So what do you think is the next frontier for the predictive group?
It's a continuing frontier because every new client has a new challenge and a new product and a new thing, strategy for business. So it's ever-changing.
Yeah, that's right. Did you ever think, looking back on those days when you studied what you did in college and then were in interior design and then in the geological business that you'd actually be shifting now into playing the field so broad?
Never assumed so. It was a purely non-commodity driven exercise that I got started in this, and it's been a wonderful ride.
That's very good. Well, Marty Briscoe, thanks so much for joining us again. Individuals can learn about Marty's work by going to www.predictivegroup.com. And would you like to share a phone number?
520-906-5003.
Very good. Marty, thanks so much for joining us, and we'll probably catch you maybe sooner than the next 5 years.
Thanks, Zara. It was great being here.
My pleasure.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.